Look tonight at Luke the second chapter. I'm encouraged this year, and I want to challenge everybody this year who's in God. All of us, whatever your ambitions are in God this year, I want to challenge everybody to see who can get people saved, who can save souls. And I want to see us, because it doesn't matter who we are and what our station is, because if anyone comes to God, it's because the Holy Spirit has drawn them. And you want to use the, you want to be someone that the Holy Spirit will use to do that. And then this year, let's see how many people we can save. If you want to compete at something, compete at that. How many souls you can save. And if you see how many people God will use you to save souls. Not just add to the church or to this and that. Because when people are saved, saved people join churches.
Yes.
They do. You know, when the Lord really saves somebody, assuming that they stay saved longer than a week, they will find them a church affiliation. Not, you know, this thing with COVID has given a lot of people an opportunity to say, hey, you know, I'm saved, but I don't, and I can just do everything from home or whatever. The Holy Ghost in me has more of a, it gives me more of a kindred spirit than that. The Holy Spirit in me gives me the same spirit that the evil spirits give you when you're in the world. They give you a desire and a love for being around people who are just like you are.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit does the same thing. There are not many people in the world who party by themselves. They really don't. They find a bar or a club that they like and that they frequent, or they do all those things. And or they join a society or a fraternity or a club. They join something.
Yes.
Because there's this need for them to belong to something. And so when people come to God, the Holy Spirit does not give you, in the way that I know the Spirit, and if you know Him differently, then so be it. But the Holy Spirit, in the way that I know Him, does not give you a hermit spirit. So you just, you know, you're out there all by yourself and you don't need to ever be around anybody. But I'm going to Luke the fourth chapter, second chapter and fourth chapter. You don't ever need to be, you don't have a need for anybody or whatever, because one of the things that John writes when he writes is he says that we know we have passed from death into life, or in other words, we now have a life in Christ because we love the brethren. It changes our outlook and how we perceive the gospel and what we do. So when it comes down to saying, you know, I can sit home by myself and turn on my TV and just worship all by myself and do all those, well, I'm glad you're tuning in, and sometimes you're in a case where you don't have any choice, because you can be not capable of leaving the house, or you might not have a way to, and the Lord understands that too. But if it just becomes your elective just to be, you know, this is how I'm going to have church till Jesus comes, I think you're missing something. And sooner or later, you're going to get bored at TV. I hope you don't get bored at God. Tonight, I want to look at a couple of things. And Luke, Luke the second chapter. And that was one of the first ones that I was going to look at. It's not Luke that I need in the second chapter. It's 1 Timothy. It's 1 Timothy that I need to start with. Chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The reason why Christ came is to save sinners. And The reason why we have Christ in our life is because we needed saving.
Yes. Amen.
We needed to be, we were lost without him and we needed saving. And the one of the very elementary things that we preach and teach to everyone is to convince them that you need to be saved.
Yes.
This is carrying on, and Paul refers to it in Romans. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in other words, everybody needs to be saved.
Yes.
And so one of the biggest challenges we have as believers is convincing unbelievers that they want, that they need to be saved.
Yes.
And we do that not only in giving them the Word of God, but the strongest thing that we give them that is in the Holy Spirit, because without the Spirit, it's not possible to be saved. But we are not able to get close enough to give people that message unless Christ is in us. I don't know if any one was. I know people are saved because they run into evil people from time to time. But I don't know of any situation where an evil person convinced a person to be saved.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of difficult to do. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then it's difficult to give you know, for you to cause someone else to receive him. So when Timothy says this, it's a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And then while we're in Timothy, we'll also look at the second scripture, which is Timothy 4:16. And this is the exhortation to us, for all of us, not just some of us. He says in this, take heed to yourselves and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and thee that, and those that hear thee. And that means that we're supposed to really pay attention to the Word of God and what we have, that we would not only save ourselves, but save the other people who will listen to us, who will listen to us preach and who will listen to us witness to them. If you want to grow strong in anything, if you want to be great at anything, and the best exercise you can ever have for being good at anything is to teach someone else.
Yeah.
And if you really want to go strong in the gospel, prepare yourself to win someone else. And say to yourself, what must I do to win someone to Christ? And what shall I say? And then when you're listening to sermons and listening to people preach and teach, say to yourself and judge by this. I use the word judge. Say to yourself in the message they give, if I wasn't saved today, would that message save me? Mm-hmm. Or would it give me a desire to be in Christ? Maybe it's not so much of saying that it saved me, but would it give me a desire to be in Christ? Would it encourage me in the Lord? Mm-hmm. There is a great need for everyone to be, I can't say it strong enough. And somehow or another, I need the miracle of the Holy Spirit to show you, because as much as we say it and do it, people just don't get it, that heaven is real and so is hell, and you really, really need to be saved.
Yes.
You know, a football player yesterday or whenever he was, walked out on the football field, he's 24 years old. He's not supposed to have a heart attack. He's in best physical condition you can be in, and he's trained and he's everything else. But, you know, things happen. No one drives on the highway and plans to be in a wreck.
No.
Unless they're suicidal. And if you're suicidal and you plan to commit suicide by being in a wreck, please choose a tree, not somebody else's car. At least be that humane.
Yeah.
But for all of us, we can't overemphasize. And so Jesus says in other places, when he's here in Mark and Matthew, 9:9-13, he makes this point to them, and he says to them, I didn't come to save the righteous people. I came to call sinners to repentance, because they need to be saved.
Yeah.
He recognizes, and he knows, just like we should, know. Bottom line is, as he says in Timothy, one, I need to save myself. I need to have myself saved.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I need to save as many people as I can. And one of the things that causes us not to witness, probably, and I look at myself as one of the things about that causes us not to be concerned about other people being safe. It depends on how much you value your own salvation.
Yes.
And if your salvation is not that valuable or important to you, then it's not something that you'll pass on. I read in Chandra was reading in, I think, Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. And he made a statement, and this is not vulgar and it's not profane. He says, if you don't witness to people and try to get them to go to heaven in so many words, he says basically what you're saying, if your attitude towards people when you don't witness and tell them they need to be saved and go to heaven, you're literally just saying to them they can just go to hell.
Yes.
That's basically what you're saying.
Yes.
You don't mind if they go to hell because you're not saying you're not saying to them they need to be saved and need to go to heaven.
Yes.
So literally, that's what you're saying to everyone that you don't say to them, you know, you need to be saved, you need to go to heaven. Then you're basically, that's the attitude that you have. You don't mind if they go to, it doesn't bother you for them to go to hell. Not a whole lot because you didn't try to turn them around. One of the greatest fighters that I know in the gospel. I don't know anyone walking the face of the planet right now. That's why you hear me talk about him a lot, and I wish I had it. I don't know anybody walking the face of the planet who fights harder for men's souls than Lee Bruner.
Yes.
Well, I mean, he has done it ever since I've known him. I mean, when he was in his early 20s, I met Bruner when he was like 21, 22. And, I mean, he would tell those guys, you know, out there, you know, the rest of us, we can just go to church, it's nice. Bruner would tell him on the spot, brother, you got to be saved.
Yes.
Brother, you need to be saved. You need to let the Lord save you. You need to be saved. You need to, you know, let me tell you about Christ. Well, let me lead you to Christ. It's easy. He's always been like that. With the God, we were all like that. But we don't have that attitude about it. Well, I guess I'm going to go to heaven and, you know, and I'll speak to them because I'm more like that than I need to be. I'll give them, if I get an opening and I'll tell them, he didn't wait for an opening. He told them, are you saved? Well, you need to be saved. It is a desperate situation for all of us that we would allow the Lord to come in and save us, because if we are not saved, if you should die and you're not saved, there's no second chance. There's no saying last rites about you, and there's no coming in and baptize you as a certain religion does, and there's no in-between place where you stop, where God judges your life and sees whether you're worthy or not. You have to be worthy to go to heaven at the time that you stop breathing. You have to be, your mind has to already be made up. And there's no pretending in this. And that's the other thing that I notice a lot of people. A lot of people who, some of them who, many of us, and it's a dangerous place to be in, if you ask if they're saved, they will say they're saved and get angry if you try to, you know, say anything about it. But the truth of it is, you yourself have to make sure that you are saved.
Yes.
And pretending to be saved doesn't work for anybody. That doesn't, you know, you, that's a mindset. Not only, you know, when the Bible says make your calling and election sure, in other words, be sure of it. Make sure it's something you hold on to. Hold fast to that thou hast. It isn't an issue of impressing other people with whether or not you're saved or not, or even convincing other people or fooling other people. The person you don't want to fool about salvation is you.
Yes.
You don't want to fool yourself about salvation. And even though heaven seems a long, you know, to many of us, especially if you're young enough, you know, you figure, hey, I got 80 more years to go. I'll pick it up sooner or later. Everybody doesn't live to be 80. Or 20 for that matter, or two, or yeah, whatever. But you need to make sure that you're ready. And then if you don't have a readiness to go to heaven, then the desperation of being saved in you isn't seen by other people.
Yes.
You know, one thing I like about God, but it's unfortunate for a lot of people. And I learned this a long time ago. You can't throw up. You can't walk out on God. You know, you can get tired of hearing me preach or teach or anybody else anywhere else at any time or whatever, and you can say I've had enough of that. I don't want to hear that anymore. Well, you might be right. You might get tired of the manner or the way of people on earth, but you can't walk out on God. You can't say, well, I'm tired of hearing about this God. I don't want to hear nothing else about salvation or whatever. That you cannot do. If you do, you doom yourself. And as John wrote in another place, you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. If you You must be in a place where the gospel is preached, where you hear the word of God. You might not have all the music, might not have all the choirs, might not have all the antics. The preacher might not get up and tell jokes. He might not be as entertaining as a lot of other preachers. He might not hoop, might not do all those things. But you must be in a place where you hear the word of God. The word of God must come continually. You must have someone always encouraging you. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. If you don't have the Lord, then you need to get in God. If you have the Lord, stay in God. That's something that you need to hear over and over and over and over, because the devil is nonstop telling you why you need to stop.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, he bombards you at all sides. He's got a. And the Bible says that it talks about his merchandising and his much speaking, his slandering in heaven. The devil has a serious marketing campaign.
Yes.
And God just has us.
Yeah.
God has us. We're the ones who are marketing for God. We advertise God. He just has us. But the devil has radio, television, you name it. He's got a serious campaign. Yeah. You can walk through the stores, walk through the malls all day long and hear all sorts of music, but you won't hear gospel.
Yeah.
Unless you walk into somebody's individual store and they decide that's what they're going to play, you will not otherwise hear it.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want on TV, and one of the things that the devil uses so skillfully in getting people not to be saved, he uses entertainment, and when he allows entertainment to be about churches and about God, he has them play it off like God is so, like it's so casual and it's not important to really live right in God. So you have these instances of churches where the people are very loose and they live just like the world and everybody else, and it's never really brought to bear that you really have to be saved.
Yes.
And it's never really comes to a point where anybody ever really has to repent. And about the only one I've ever seen is a little movie, you know, I'm in love with a church girl and she got in the accident and everything, and he really goes in there. That's about the best repentance I've seen anybody do on TV yet.
Yeah.
He gets in there before God. He says, "Lord, what else do you want me to do? Hey, here I am." You know, and he says, "I get the message," you know, and he does that and goes through and goes, because I know there are lots of movies, gospel movies, where people do that I haven't seen, but they're not mainstream.
Yeah.
You gotta go look for those. But for the most part, everything else is out there. But salvation is the most, to be saved. There is no decision you make in the earth more important than allowing the Lord to save you. I don't care who you are.
That's right.
There is no decision that you make in the earth more important than asking God to save you. Because this life for any of us who have any age on us, it goes by like that.
Yes.
When you're young, it drags, but the older you get, the faster it speeds up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, years start rolling around so quickly. It's like there every other day you have a new year. That's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you look at it and it's like it's just... I remember, you know, so when it comes down to Luke the fourth chapter. So Timothy says, you know, Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy doesn't say it, but Paul says when he writes to Timothy, he says, you know, it's something that you need to know, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. That's his reason for being here. What did I have in this particular scripture? Luke chapter 4. And 18. It's familiar scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus goes out and preaches, he preaches that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the mindset that all of us should have, because it is true. If the Lord really dwells in you, by His Spirit, and you've asked God to save you. You haven't, you know, mentally thought of God saving you, or you haven't just made an assumption that God has saved you because you haven't done anything bad lately. And you just feel like, well, there's no reason for me not to be saved. But you're old enough and you're cognizant enough to say, Lord, save me.
Yes.
And you haven't done that yet. You're not willing to just step out and say, Lord, I really want you to save me. I really need to be saved. I'm not perfect. I'm not old. I'm not grown. I don't know everything. But I want it to be so that if you should come today, or if I should die in my sleep, or if I'll use the word transition from this life to the next life, I want to have eternal life. Everybody should be able to say that.
Yes.
That's easy to say. And I know you run into well-meaning people who make it so difficult, and they want you to speak in tongues, and they want you to do this and say this and say all these things and everything else. And I've even had people say to me, and I know you have to hear the gospel in order for you to be saved, because unless you know who Jesus Christ is and about His atoning work, then I don't see any way that you can be saved, because you have to believe in it. But that being said, if you've heard the gospel and it's preached to you now, and you've heard the gospel, I don't go along with people who say that you can't go home tonight at 4 o'clock in the morning, and when you wake up, if it stirs you in your sleep, you can't get up and ask God to save you.
Yes.
I know that you can.
Yes, you can.
No doubt in my mind about it. When the Spirit comes and reminds you of the words and troubles you in the night or whatever, then, you know, for someone to say, well, you know, you can't be saved. Yes, you can. If you've heard the Word of God. And I don't go along with all the things of you got to confess every sin you ever done and all this kind of stuff, because some of us don't even remember all the sins. And besides all that, until the Lord brings you to the point of realizing that some things are sin, you don't know they are sin.
Yes, that's right.
So we don't have to do all that. But what you do have to do is you have to ask the Lord to come into your life. And you do have to ask Him to save you. And you do have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's the Savior. Now that you have to believe.
Yes.
That you have, and you don't have to know all. And the Holy Spirit is such a terrific person. He doesn't even require you to know all the ins and outs of Him, so that you have to, you know, and you have to seek out the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. That's not part of what the Bible tells me. Mm-hmm. He does come in. He does it automatically. Mm-hmm. That's not part of what the Bible tells me that you have to ask for. What you do have to ask for is for God to save you.
Yes, amen.
And you have to ask Him to forgive you of all your sins and wash you. And you have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This you have to make up your mind about. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He is the only sacrifice for sin, that God gave Him a ransom for sin. In other words, He died for me, and that God the Father resurrected Him from the dead, that He lives. It would be nice for you to start saying in your mind now, Jesus lives.
Yes.
Jesus lives. You need to make up your mind that Jesus is alive. He lives.
Yes.
He lives. Jesus lives. And having been crucified and died on the cross of Calvary, which not many people doubt, because we're used to people dying, they're not here, we know they died.
Yes.
But to have Him resurrected and living forever in His immortal body and return to His deity, you need to make up your mind about that. That He's the Son of God, lived a life without sin. Mm-hmm. You have to, and this is the reason why we need to talk more about Jesus. See, that's why we need to spend more time talking about Jesus, so that you know that. And you're asking God the Father to save you, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done. And you're saying, I believe in what Christ has done, and I want it to be for me. I want to be included in the number of the people that Christ died for. I want my sins to be washed away and taken away with all the sins that went away when Christ bore them on the cross of Calvary and set me free from them. He bore in His own body, you know.
Yes, amen.
All of my sins and all those, I want that to be for me. I want to be saved. You know, and you it's like if you've ever watched the movie Achille and the Bee, and the man says, you want to win the spelling bee? I want to win the spelling bee. He says, you want to win the spelling bee? She says, I want to win the spelling bee. He said, do you want to win the spelling bee? She said, I want to win the spelling bee.
Yes.
That's the way you need to be in God.
Yes.
I want to be saved.
Saved, yes.
I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I do not want to spend eternity there. I want to be saved. Somewhere along the line, you have to come to yourself and say, I want to be saved. It's the only way you ever will be. No one can ask God to save you for you. Those people pray for people to be saved all the time. I pray for them. Lord, draw them to the cross. Lord, bring them. But it has to be a confession of your own faith.
That's right.
I want to be saved. You have to say that yourself. Lord, please save me. And don't go through all the motions that a lot of people will tell you. Lord, forgive me this. When the Lord saves you, you'll get around to asking the Lord to wash you of this and take this away and do all those. The Lord knows where you are when He saves you. He knows what your mindset is. He knows what your age is. He knows what your mindset is. He knows what you've done and what you haven't done. He's been waiting all this time for you to allow Him to clean you up and to give you everlasting life. That's what He's there for. Jesus Christ came to save sinners.
Yes.
That's what He came. That's the reason why. That's the reason why He's here.
Yes.
And He says in Luke 18, 4th chapter, He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He writes this when He goes into them. And I was watching the other day on what's the show?
Chosen.
And He makes this point. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He has, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm trying to get back to this so I can do this also in the Living Translation. The Spirit of the Lord, because He's anointed me to bring the good news, the gospel to the poor. And when Jesus makes this point, this here in Luke the 4th chapter and also in Matthew the 5th chapter when He talks about it, His proclamation is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's your salvation is here. If you listen to what I'm saying, you can be part of the kingdom of heaven. You can be part of the kingdom of God. It's available to you. When He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, He's saying the kingdom is available to you. You know how you watch TV and they talk about the enrollment periods for Medicare and all these things. And there's only a certain time of year when you can do it and all this kind of stuff. And they say, you can do it now. Well, anytime with Jesus, because He makes the point of saying, when I come, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can be saved now. When the word of God is being preached, and this is why it's so important, as Paul told to Timothy, he says, you need to preach the word of God and preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, he says, and God's doctrine so that it will save you and save those that hear you. All the other things we talk about won't save you.
That's right.
You know, I don't mean to offend anybody. People get mad with me, they think if they like, and I don't think many people will. But the truth of it is, I can get up here all night long and say to every one of you, you need to be a miracle worker. 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 And probably you do. And working miracles is great. But you can't be a miracle worker before you're saved.
That's right.
And you can't say, Lord, make me a miracle worker, and not first of all ask God, Lord, save me.
Yes.
Lord, deliver me. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. In other words, Lord, save me. Lord, come in, oh Lord.
Yes.
Sometimes when we're really going through, you know what we really need to say? Lord, come in.
Yes.
You know, even when we're saved, we need to turn to God and say, Lord, you know, like my mind is swirling like a whirlwind. I need some help. Come in, oh Lord.
Yes.
Come in. Come in and help me. Come in and deliver me. And when Jesus gets up, He says, you know, and this all goes back to me being saved. Do I believe the Lord will save me? So, you know, when, you know, faith cometh by hearing and that by the word of God. So when we look at people and their faith, I see people just saying all kinds of things. Grab hold of faith. Grab hold of this. Grab hold of that. You need to grab hold of salvation.
Yes.
And build on everything else from there. You can just be part of the number and you can be in the rah-rah crowd and you can be up and down. And you can be a lot of things. But, you know, and I'm not saying that all the people who are involved in that are not saved. I'm not saying that at all. But you do have to make sure that you are saved.
Yes.
That you absolutely have to do. When you're up and you're lifting up holy hands, make sure that you're lifting up holy hands of someone who's saved. When you're going through and doing the things you're doing, make sure that it's someone who's saved, not just someone who's going through the motions because everybody else is going through the motions. Right now, you know, you need to, if you've never done it, you need to ask the Lord save me. You go home tonight.
Yes.
If you know when you pray and say it over and over again, you know, say, Lord, I thank you for saving me.
Yes.
And if you feel like you've gone astray and you're not really in the Lord right away, then you need to ask the Lord, forgive me for what I did today or what I said today, and I just you know, make sure, I just want to make sure I'm saved.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that everything's all right between me and you. You know, let there not be anything that's hindering, that's standing between me and you.
Yes.
We have to make sure we have our salvation. So Jesus tells them, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit, poor in heart, poor in money, poor in every way, in every deficient way you can name. Christ has come to deliver.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
I have the anointing. It doesn't matter what state of life you're in. I can save you.
Yes.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. He says all this, and this, you know, Isaiah says when he prophesies, this is what Christ is going to come to do. And in this one few verses, in verse 18, he covers everything that we go through.
Yes.
In this one verse, he says, I can work out whatever is going on in your life. And he says, I can save you. I can fix this. And, you know, if your heart's been broken, if you're this, you know, if you're, when he says broken heart, it's not just a love life that breaks the heart. It's disappointment. Well, it's frustration.
Yes. Nice.
There's so much, you know, every time people preach you broken heart, there's always some man or some woman. It doesn't have to be that.
Yes.
You know, your heart can fall because of many things that go on. You can, you know, any disappointment, all the things that cause you not to feel good break your spirit. You know, you expect some great thing and it doesn't come through. Everything is not malice. When we talk about brokenheartedness, about being brokenhearted, let's just change that for the word hurt.
Yes.
Whatever hurts you.
Yes.
Someone says the wrong thing and offends you and they hurt you. They broke your heart.
Yes, that's right.
Because when we refer to that, we're talking about your emotional health.
Yes.
And so when he says I came to heal the broken heart, it's just not heal your heart because a woman walked off and left you, a man walked off, you know, as the case may be, and hopefully correctly. It's not just brokenhearted over that. When he says to heal the broken heart, it's everything that people do to wound you.
Yes.
It's everything they do to make you not feel like going on, make you feel like giving up, make you, sometimes they'll make you lose your self-worth and lose your self-esteem, and you start to feel like, hey, you know, like, you know, I'm just the low of the lows, and it goes right into the next one when he says to the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, bruised by the devil.
Yes, yeah.
Bruised by the devil. In other words, the devil comes in, you know, and says back in the garden, talks about Satan bruising the seed of the woman's heel.
Yeah.
Bruised by the devil. It's just battered and bruised, and everything that should work out doesn't work out.
It
seems like you're forever in a storm, and every now and then there's a quiet day or an easy day, but the rest of the time it's just rough.
Yes.
And you're just, you know, black and blue or purple as the case may be, and you and you need the Lord to come in. He's a comforter and he's the one who works things out, and the Lord will deliver you from that. My heart, like I always mention the homeless people, it's so, why are you so hard on homeless people? I'm not hard on them. It's that I want them to be delivered and they won't be delivered.
Yes.
I want them to come out. So, you know, it ain't as easy as you think. I know it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you need God to do it.
Do it, yes.
Of course it's not easy. That's why you need God to help. And any deliverance is not easy. That's why you need the Lord to bring you out. That's why you need his power. That's the reason why he says the Spirit is upon me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's anointed me to do these things and to preach and to teach and to tell you this because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Not we don't need the anointing of the Holy Ghost just to do entertain the people, the saints who come to a meeting. We need the anointing to win men and women to Christ.
Right. Yes, that's right.
It's not, I don't need the anointing of the Holy Ghost just to make me a great speaker so I have a large following. That's not the point.
Right.
I want people to follow Christ. Even tonight, for everybody who's hearing me, wherever you are, and everybody who will hear me, if somebody else should pick it up and should listen to it, listen, at some point in time, you have to sit down and say to yourself, am I going to heaven or not?
Yes.
And once you make up your mind you're going to heaven, so I said to myself, I'm going to heaven, I don't care what nobody says. Well, you have to remind yourself of that every time you feel like giving up. Every time things don't work out, you have to remind yourself, but I have heaven. And I know it sounds like a cliche because people like to say, well, you know, I have a hard time. You keep telling me I got heaven, but I'm having a hard time down here. No, we're telling you got heaven because in that comes all your deliverance and everything else.
Yes.
There is only one thing the devil wants you to give up. Eternal life.
Yes.
He doesn't care about your money. Your success or lack thereof. He doesn't care about your love life. He doesn't care about the health of your body. He doesn't care about your job. It is obvious the billionaires have all the money in the world, but they don't have heaven. So, businessmen, how can you say that? Look at their lives. Come on, let's not be stupid.
Yes.
Some things, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, you can't judge who's saved and who's not. Yes,
yes, you can.
It does come to be a point after a while where things become so obvious. You know, yes. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's a duck.
It's a duck, yes.
And somewhere along the line, you have to make up your mind and know enough about righteousness and about being in God that when you see what some people do, you have to say to yourself, there's no way in the world they can have the same Holy Ghost I have and act like that.
Right. Yes.
And you have to be honest about it. And somebody will say, well, you can't judge nobody. Yes, you can.
Yes.
Because we look at people all the time and decide whether or not we want to be with them, not be with them, be around them, not be around them. Whether we're concerned about them, whether we're cautious about them, whether we're afraid of them, whether we do that all day, every day.
Yes.
So when someone says, you know, there's no way in the world, you know, you look at it and say, well, you know what, you can't be saved doing that. You don't know his heart. Yes, you do. That's the whole point. You do.
Hmm.
You do.
Yes.
Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Those things. You do know people's heart to a degree. You might not know everything about them, but there are some things that become obvious.
Yes.
Yes, they do. Some things you do know, and devil likes to play that game because he doesn't like for anybody to actually look at somebody and say, you know what, they really need to be saved.
They really need the Lord. Yes.
You go into a movie theater and shoot up everybody in there, and then you're going to stand around and say, well, I guess he shot up everybody, but you know what, I think he's saved. Yeah. Really? Not if it's somebody you know.
No.
God walks up in a church to the Bible study. That's why we keep the doors locked. That's why we have to keep the doors locked. Walks into the Bible study, shoots all the people. This church been there forever. He walks in here, 9 people in here, and killed 9 people in a Bible study. And I guess you want to turn around and say, well, you know what? Well, he just had a bad day, but you know he's saved, though. I'm not saying he can't be saved. He can't get
saved.
But he wasn't saved when he did that.
No.
So we have to have some common sense. So Jesus says to them, he says, you know, when I'm here, the point being, is that we need to, I came to save the, you know, the people would be saved and people would be delivered. That's my point for coming. It's the reason why I'm here. And this is the reason why it says that he went out and preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what John the Baptist was saying. That's where we need to be this year. We need to, first of all, as Timothy says, make sure that we have saved ourselves. And then we need to see how many other people we can save. How many other people we can tell about the Lord. If you're sure about the Lord, you don't mind telling somebody else. And you don't have to know everything. Well, now you say you believe in Jesus. Well, now, tell me this. You know what you need to say to them? I don't know everything about God. Neither does anybody else who walks the earth. But I do know that I'm saved. I do know how to do that. I do know that Jesus lives. So how do you live? Because the Holy Ghost who dwells in me affirms that he lives. And I know he lives. And there you go talking about that Holy Ghost stuff again. Talking about, I can't see the Holy Ghost. I said, you know, you need to know when to withdraw from people and say, you know what, they're not interested.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You know, you need to, and then when you make that statement, then they need to stop being the person that you hang around all the time.
Yeah.
Some people are just, they're just going, yeah. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Some people are never going to have God.
No.
They're just not interested.
Right.
They just aren't. And it doesn't matter what you do, and the devil will send them in your way just to dissuade you and to keep you. And you, No, you need to know how to keep them at arm's length, and when you've said what you have to say about the Lord, then move on.
Yes.
When they start going around, you know, just round and round, everything brings another question or whatever. I've seen so many people get mixed up trying to do it. Don't do that. Just stay with what you know. I do know one thing. I asked the Lord to save me, and He did. Yeah. So how do you know? Because I know my sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
How do you know? I just know. That's faith. That's faith. When you say, I know my sins are forgiven, and someone says, well, how do you know? I know. That's faith. I know my sins are forgiven. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know the Lord has washed away all my sins because I have peace concerning them. The guilt is gone. The condemnation is gone. The Lord has cleansed me and washed me. And it's keeping me. I know heaven is real. We have to get to a point. So when Jesus walks into this, into these people, into the Jewish believers, and says to them, He's speaking absolutely. He says, what I've come to say to you, the Spirit has given me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach this gospel to the poor. And He knows when He walks in there that very few of them, if any of them, are going to believe Him. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But He knows what He has to do. When He walks, He's just like John the Baptist. When they come preaching and teaching, they come because when they, wherever they are, the kingdom of heaven is there. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We all must be the sort of persons that wherever we are, the kingdom of heaven is there. Why is that? Because it's in us.
Yes, yes.
And if you will give me an opportunity, wherever I am, I will tell you that Jesus lives.
Yes.
I might not be the most eloquent person in telling you that, but if you give me the opportunity and say, well, what do you believe in? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died for my sins and rose again after the third day. I believe He lives in heaven. He dwells there. He is the sacrifice of my sins, and I've asked God to save me based on that, and God has done it.
Amen.
I have His Holy Spirit dwelling in me because I can tell the difference in the life that I had before Christ came and the life I have now. I have a liberty and a joy that I never had before.
Yes, amen.
My mind is made up. I can sense it because I have the peace that comes with knowing that no matter what happens in the earth, that in eternity I will be all right.
Amen.
Might not ever figure it out on the earth, but I know one thing. When Jesus Christ comes, or if I should die tonight, I will go to heaven. I'm not guessing. I'm not pretending, and I'm not trying to just, you know, act it out. I know this as a reality. That's the mindset we have to have.
Yes.
And if they say, well, how do you get there? Then you know what you need? That's when you say to them, you need to come to church with me.
Yes.
Took me some time. I've told a lot of people. Didn't get this overnight.
Yes.
Took me some time to get where I am. You need to come to church with me. You need to learn more of it. Jesus even told the people, He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes.
And that's what the devil tries to fight too. He doesn't like for anybody to learn about Christ.
Yes.
If he can't keep you from coming to church at all, he wants you in a church where people don't talk about Jesus.
Yes.
Talk about faith. Talk about gifts. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Yes. Just don't talk about Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
Do whatever you want, but don't talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Give them whatever you want to give them. Motivate them. Do anything you want, but don't talk about Jesus.
Yes.
Don't bring Him up, and everything will be, and you'll be all right. Mm-hmm. So tonight I want to encourage everybody tonight, you know, talk about Jesus.
Yes.
Insist.
Yes.
Insist. Make up your mind that you have Christ dwelling in you, everybody standing. Make up your mind you have Christ dwelling in you. And this year I'm encouraging everybody, especially myself. See how many people you can win to Christ. See who you can actually convince to be saved. You know, you down to them, you just have to say to them, you know, you really need to be saved. Are you going to heaven? Well, I guess I am. If everybody else is going, I guess I'm going.
Yeah.
Everybody else is not going. And you're one of the everybody. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to send forth your healing virtue tonight, Lord. For we ask you with Peter as well. Lord, give us great boldness to preach the word of God by stretching forth our hand to heal. And by that signs and wonders may be wrought, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That men and women would believe on you and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, let every sign, every move of the Spirit, Lord, every word that comes forth out of our mouth, Lord, come forth with the power of the Holy Spirit and draw men and women to our precious Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, touch their spirit. Lord, let it not just be words to their ears, but Lord, touch their spirit.
Yes.
And give life to their spirit so that they would believe. Lord, cause men and women to believe the gospel, Lord, because you have touched them in their spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Lord, heal and deliver tonight and set free.
Yes.
Lord, break every yoke. Lord, draw men and women to thy precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, use us, O God. Lord, anoint us.
Yes.
Lord, anoint us, Lord, to give the gospel to the poor, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that the brokenhearted would be healed and those who are bruised, Lord, that they would be set free. Lord, anoint us to tell men and women about Christ. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit tonight so that when we witness, Lord, the witness will go forth with power.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Thank God for everybody being out.